with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You're not at your house. You're at a lavish seaside estate. You're not walking the dog. You're hunting for clues in an Agatha Christie mystery. See it differently with BritBox. Stream an endlessly entertaining collection of British TV, including new original series, Ludwig, starring David Mitchell.
Bit awkward, really. I think I might just have solved a murder.
And Outrageous, a scandalous true story.
Seems there's a political extremist in every family these days.
See it differently when you stream the best of British TV with BritBox.
Jake from State Farm. I just beat my running PR, so I'm celebrating with the Banana Bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large.
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Senate Republicans locked in a marathon session as they try to pass a massive mega bill for President Trump's domestic agenda. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
Right now, the Senate is in this voterama, right? It's voting on a series of amendments that Democrats are putting forward to try to change this legislation that will be unsuccessful, and some amendments that Republicans are putting forward to cut even more, like a Rick Scott proposed amendment to enact further cuts onto Medicaid. Unclear if he's got the support in his own ranks among Senate Republicans to get that over the goal line.
The Trump administration threatening to pull all federal funding for Harvard University. That after a task force concluded that Harvard was violating of civil rights. Harvard says it strongly disagrees with the findings. In northern Idaho, officials identified the gunman who shot and killed two firefighters and injured a third. Police say Wes Rowley started the brush fire to lure firefighters to the scene and say they located him on a ridge nearby after he killed himself. This is ABC News. President Trump pushing for a ceasefire deal in Gaza and the release of hostages. It comes as Israeli forces are being blamed for an airstrike at a cafe along the beach of Gaza City, killing at least 45. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Tel Aviv.
The Israeli Prime Minister yesterday, Benjamin Netanyahu, subtly changing his language, effectively really underlining that the hostages were his top priority. In the past, he's really focused on degrading Hamas militarily. We're seeing no indication that Hamas is willing to change its red lines in the negotiations. It still holds more than 50 hostages. About 20 of them are believed to still be alive. I don't think there's any sign that a deal is imminent to end the war, but things do seem to be moving in that broad direction.
In New York City, deliberations underway in the sex trafficking trial of Sean Diddy Combs. The jurors have already sent a note to the judge expressing concern that one juror cannot follow instructions. And the foreman and four person chosen is a nursing home aide from Manhattan. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone. Now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions. Like your really expensive limited edition sneakers and your new suit for your cousin's wedding. Except you never actually bought the suit because you can't stop buying sneakers. So you show up to the wedding looking like you're going grocery shopping. But hey, at least your sneakers will look good in the pictures. Until you're cropped out of every last one of them. So go ahead and get Progressive so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. President Donald Trump's proposed federal budget has passed a Senate vote with help from Wisconsin's previously opposed Republican senator. After signaling his disapproval with President Trump's big, beautiful bill for several weeks, Senator Ron Johnson voted it forward Friday night. The vote was procedural. It only barely passed the chamber after two other Republicans voted against it. Johnson had repeatedly said he was against the bill on the grounds it cut too much and would still increase the federal budget by billions of dollars. The Senate may bring the bill to the floor for a full vote before July 4th. At the Capitol, while Republicans grapple over the budget, Democrats have been watching from the sidelines.
On WISN's Upfront, Milwaukee State Senator LaTanya Johnson says they're firm on voting against the Republican proposals.
We are determined to stick together as a body to make sure that this is a bipartisan process, that we are not willing to be picked off one by one.
Johnson says even approval from Governor Tony Evers might not be enough for Senate Democrats who want to ensure a good deal for their constituents. With at least two Senate Republicans signaling no votes, Republican leadership would need Democratic support to get the budget ready by the end of Monday. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
It's life in prison without the chance for parole for the man convicted in the hate crime murder of his Green Bay Correctional Institution cellmate last August. 25-year-old Jackson Vogel spoke before his sentence was issued.
I may not show remorse. I may not be able to understand emotion. I may not be able to understand remorse itself. It doesn't mean a person cannot be sorry for what they did.
A Brown County Circuit Court judge also denied Vogel the future opportunity for extended supervision. Vogel told investigators he strangled Michael Loreno because of his race and his sexual orientation.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just a few scattered showers and thunderstorms around this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny skies with highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, mostly clear with lows near 60. On Tuesday, first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with a high of 82. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 78.
It's like the corn market put a do not disturb sign out on the door and USDA was afraid to knock. Trade analysts on average did an outstanding job of anticipating the results of USDA's acreage and grain stocks reports, and that did little to move prices. The lean hog market was under pressure, but live and feeder cattle futures built upside momentum throughout the day.
Live! If this doesn't shake out the shorts, I don't know what will. Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Ben Brown from Fapri at Mizzou. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory at WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, we've got Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Oh, super terrific. Just good. Outstanding. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Little cloudy here. I don't think it's gotten as warm as what everybody was anticipating for Northeast Iowa today. Yeah, we're sitting right at 80 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a nice day out there when you get right down to it.
Yeah, we're at 82, and I don't know. I'm about going to reach for a sweater here if this doesn't turn around at some point.
Right. I get it. I get it. June 30th.
Uh-huh.
Historically, the most active day in corn futures. And today was a bust for that market.
Yeah.
It got nothing. It really did. We're going to break it down with Ben Brown at the University of Missouri. And sometimes the lack of a surprise is just as telling, just as important as getting a surprise in the USDA numbers. And if that's the case with corn this time around, we might have a long summer in front of us, Davis. This corn market might just have decided today that it needs to go nowhere.
Possibly. But if we've met expectations the way that you say that we have, very closely to pre-report expectations here, maybe this is the new baseline. They're like, yep, this is pretty much what we thought.
Now we can begin to build from here.
Okay.
Perhaps? Maybe?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Glass half full, well, guy. Not that you're
gonna,
not.
We're going to talk to Ben about all of that coming up here in just a little bit. Welcome to AgriTalk. Wish we had a little bit better news to share on this June 30th USDA report day.
Indeed.
But we don't.
No.
Let's go ahead and get to the news.
Well, sure. We've got all kinds of other stuff, including export inspections of wheat in the weekend of June 26, totaling nearly 435,000 metric tons. That was at the high end of trade expectations. USDA's acreage report put all wheat acres at 45.478 million acres, about 40,000 acres above trade expectations. Winter wheat acres were slightly above trade expectations, with spring wheat acres below the average trade guess. Wheat stocks in all positions totaled 851 million bushels. That's 15 million bushels above trade expectations. September HRW wheat futures, 7 cents lower, 526 and three quarters. September SRW wheat down 2.5 cents to 538 and one quarter. Let's see, at last report, I've got September spring wheat down 7.25, looks like, at 620 and three quarters, Chip.
Yeah, and let's not forget that 851 million bushels on June 1 wheat stocks, that will be your 2024-25 carryover.
Mm. Well, corn plantings this year totaled 95.203 million acres. That's 123,000 acres below March intentions and 147,000 acres below trade expectations for this report. June 1 corn stocks in all positions, 4.644 billion bushels, were up 6.9% from a year ago, just 3 million bushels above the average pre-report trade estimate. Export inspections of corn weekend of June 26 totaled 1.37 million metric tons, in line with trade expectations. December corn futures today opened slightly lower and then spiked resistance at Friday's high before falling back to close just below the opening range. September corn futures today 2.25 cents lower at 409 and a quarter. December corn down 1.5 cents to 425 and one half. March corn futures closed at 441. That's down 1.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, that is a go-nowhere kind of formation in that corn market right now.
Soybean export inspections weekend of June 26 totaled nearly 225,000 metric tons. That was in line, actually, with trade expectations. Soybean stocks in all positions totaled 1.008 billion bushels, 3.9% above year ago, and 28 million bushels above trade expectations. Soybean plantings this year totaled 83.38 million acres, 115,000 fewer than planting intentions, and 275,000 acres below the average pre-report trade estimate. November beans opened slightly higher today in mid-range, and after trading a 20-cent trading range, came back to settle just slightly above the opening range. August soybeans today, 3.5 cents lower, 10.29 and three quarters. September beans up 1 cent, 10.18 and one quarter. November beans closed at 10.27, up 2.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, and the soy complex just across the board was quiet. August soybean meal today was up just 20 cents, and August bean oil up just 17 points.
Well, cotton plantings this year totaled 10.12 million acres, down just over 1 million from a year ago, but 385,000 acres above trade expectations. December cotton today, 119 points lower, 67.68, Chip.
Yeah, yeah, let's go ahead and get to Jack, shall we?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll get to the livestock trade just before we kick off the conversation with Ben. So let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack? Oop, don't hear Jack. You there, buddy? All right. Well, okay. let's try to get a hold of him. In the meantime, let's go ahead and get to that livestock news.
Sure thing. August fat cattle futures opened slightly higher and quickly dropped to moderately lower levels, then recovered to settle just above the opening range. August feeders gapped higher, followed fat cattle to the downside, then led the price recovery. Box beef prices slightly higher this morning. August fat cattle 57.5 higher, 213.87.5, and August feeders up 277.5 to 310.67.5. You want to try again, buddy?
No? Yeah, let's go ahead. Jack, have we got you there, bud? And hogs.
And as I was saying, lean hog futures opened lower and on session highs, ended the day on session lows. July hogs are looking at chart support at the bottom of the June 16 upside price gap at 109.52.5.
July lean hog futures $3.15 lower at 110.10. October hogs down 222.5 to 92.40. Chip.
All right. You know, just one more try out there. Jack, are you with us? No. Okay. You heard what I said there. Wait, have we got Jack?
It keeps flashing up on the thing.
Yeah.
Is why we're having,
yeah, that's, I think that's we're what's having going trouble. On. You're hearing the sausage, just not seeing it made. is what's going on right there.
I've got crackers if anyone needs them. I've got crackers.
The corn market, as I said at the start, it leaves me concerned that that the corn market is kind of immune to price action right now. You've heard Bubba the past several weeks. It's a lack of participation in here that is really concerning, and the lack of participation is probably just one of the factors that is going to keep the professional trading funds on the short side of that market. And yeah, it's going to be really, really difficult if the funds are going to decide to stay short. And I didn't see anything to change it. If the funds decide to stay short, that's going to be tough to break. We've got Ben Brown, University of Missouri, up next here on AgriTalk.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
My mom is a veteran, and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are also scheduled dairy tours and field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.61% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit fbn.com/agritalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this report day, June 30th, 2025. USDA Acreage Report, USDA Quarterly Grain Stocks Report. Big day.
It was supposed to be a market mover, Chip.
I know.
The June 30 reports have come and gone, and who would know?
And here's the thing, you guys. Before we get to the conversation with Ben, which is coming up here in just a moment.
Momentarily.
If I wanted the corn market to move just to change things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Honestly, if we would have got a negative report, I think it would have been a big down hard day, and that would have been it.
Yeah.
That, flush it out. That probably would. Yep. Give it the flush. Show the funds that, hey, this market is... It has given you everything that you're going to get out of that short position. It's time to work back to the upside. Or you get the positive report and you lock in the low and you have to chase the funds out. To me, the most negative thing that we could have gotten was a dead steady, dead neutral report to leave the market dead.
See,
I'm worried that's what we're getting.
And we'll get to Ben. The beginning of last week, wow, a little volatility in crude oil. It's kind of in the downward direction, but things looked like they were gonna begin to move, at least,
things
which
were
would
moving.
Be great. Anyway.
Things were moving.
Here we are.
Ben Brown, University of Missouri, FAPRI, there in Columbia. How you doing, Ben?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, Chip. It's always good, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Glad you're here. Did that conversation between Davis and I, did that make sense to you?
To be truthfully, I didn't hear any of it. It kind of blacked out on my end. I could hear Jack, though. I got Jack's commentary. So what you all didn't get, I got. So.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Radio Technical is mysterious. No one really knows
it's,
how it
it's
works.
It's crazy that it works this way. My comment was a dead steady, dead neutral kind of day for corn may have been worse than getting a big bearish report and definitely worse than getting a big bullish report.
Well, so, I mean, this is kind of uncommon for June, right? Built up expectations. We were going to finally figure out what the unknown was out there and, you know, give a lot of people credit. You know, the numbers came in pretty close to expectations. You know, to sit here, the corn stocks were only 3 million bushels off from what the pre-report expectations were. Now, granted, they nailed it in March. So I guess we could say that they're trending in the wrong direction if you want to nitpick something here, but. Overall, you know, yeah, pretty bland report, I guess, for our large acreage crops. I would argue that there was quite a few changes in the smaller acreage crops when you get down into sorghum, cotton, rice. But, you know, for the corn, soybeans, wheat, not a whole lot that changed here. And I think you're right. I think we kind of drift lower now from here on out because it didn't change the sentiment. There wasn't anything surprising.
Right. So what signals can we take from those corn numbers? Just to hit those again here really quick, if I can get there. We had the corn stocks in all positions came in at $4.644 billion, as you said, just 3 million off from trade expectations, 95.203 million on the planted acreage, just 123 below March intentions. What signals can we take from that, Ben?
Well, so this is a great question because, like, I in some ways when I first started looking at this today, I thought maybe this would be a bullish factor to move higher for the markets because, you know, we didn't see a huge run up in additional acres. There was a lot of fear that we'd see you know, even more corn acres out there. Yeah. And the fact that we didn't, right? Like, I think that helped remove some of those extremely bearish fears out there that people had that had kind of been holding this market because, and I'm sure you all have talked about this on the show here the last couple of weeks, you know, we've thrown everything in the kitchen sink at this corn market that we possibly could, and it hasn't moved. It's kept drifting lower. And certainly last week was kind of a real down week. If you're trying to price some new crop corn, just the opportunity seems to be slipping through our fingers here a little bit. So to me, that was for the corn market, you know, we didn't see huge amounts of acres. In fact, you know, I think the soybean acreage number continues to paint a friendly story for the bulls because any type of weather shock or any type of weather scare here for that soybean crop just continues to tighten the carryouts that we've seen or that we see there. So, you know, I think for the corn, it could have been a lot worse, but certainly it's not super bullish. It's just, it could have been what it was.
Yep. So talk to me about what you think this means for the balance sheet outlook. We got the June acre or the June WASD report not that long ago. I mean, you could basically plug these numbers in that we got, and you don't even have to make a change on the demand side of the balance sheet, do you, Ben?
No, not really. I mean, we're still tight. I think we're gonna continue to tighten this old crop carry out even further. I could make the case that we need to increase, or that we will see an increase of corn exports for this old crop year again in July. You know, I will say that there's been a lot of concern around the feed number, and even some speculation that USDA cut the corn yield number too much in January and that we would see that kind of rise. So that was kind of one of these rumors that was floating out there, all these extra old crop bushels. You know, looking at the stocks number, I don't think that's necessarily true. What I think I can paint from that, and this kind of plays into your question about the balance sheet, is really one of the big headwinds that's facing corn is we've got a lot of wheat and we've got a lot of grain sorghum that continue to weigh on that market and continue to kind of keep a lid on some of those feed demand numbers. But certainly from an export side, you know, that's been strong. Ethanol, that's been strong. So that old crop carryout, at least I think, can continue to tighten. Of course, then that carries forward into the new crop marketing year. We've got, you know, large acreage, the largest acreage that we've seen since 2013 on the corn side. And so that's kind of the next cap that's keeping this corn market from moving higher. I will say the one, I think, notable thing maybe in the corn acreage was that gap between planted and harvest acreage grew. So we added about 500,000 acres that you know, aren't expected to get harvested for grain in that gap, quote unquote, the failed acres or what's turned into silage. So that helps. That's a little friendly feather. It's not a big friendly feather, but it's a little friendly feather in the corn new crop corn balance sheet. So,
okay. All right. Before I forget to get to it, take me through some of those changes on the smaller acreage crops in the planting report that you saw.
Sure. Yeah. So to me, this was one of the more notable things. Of course, I'm in a state, Missouri, where, you know, we have cotton, rice, and we have sorghum, not a ton of sorghum. And of course, USDA doesn't track sorghum yields anymore for Missouri, but we still have sorghum. But, you know, cotton acres came in above all pre-report expectations at over, you know, 10.1 million acres of cotton. That was above all pre-report expectations. You know, Texas as a whole increased almost 200,000 acres for cotton. So, you know, added some cotton. Granted, we're still very low, you know, almost a decade low in cotton numbers. Grain sorghum acreage came in below all pre-report expectations at 6.2 million acres. That's down 354,000 from the March planting intentions report on the grain sorghum. To me, that just matches the economics that we've seen in grain sorghum. Exports are terrible. You know, it's competing against corn and wheat in the feed bunk too, but I'm really struggling economically on the grain sorghum side. And then rice came in, their acreage of 2.68 million acres came in below all pre-report expectations as well. To me, that's more of a weather story when we look at where we lost some rice acres in Mississippi and Arkansas, where it's been really wet in that Delta region. So,
okay.
Again, I would say it's those smaller, you know, lower volume acreage crops. Cotton coming in above, you know, a surprise to the bearish side, and then sorghum and rice coming in a surprise to the bullish side. So
that poor cotton. We had such a good week last week. Yeah, you know, Dease cotton last week was up 262 points. It was a good week, and it was up every day last week, and then we stick this number with it. It just,
Yeah, so to your point, you know, we have a range of crops in Missouri that I track for our producers down here, and of the crops that we have, cotton was the only crop that saw a week over week gain. It was the only one that had green ink on the sheet. Everything else was red, and we erased all that today. So, or a good And so it's just, it's one of those hard things where cotton hasn't had much to celebrate this year either. Prices are quite a bit lower than where we were. And certainly compared to just 2 or 3 years ago, we're about half the price we were. So kind of challenging economic.
All right, buddy. Stay with us here, Ben. We are going to continue the conversation. I've got a couple of issues that I want to dig into it a little bit more. And then we're going to talk a bit more about market outlook and risk management. It's a tough year for profitability. What do we need to do with the risk management plans to adjust?
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For September, HRW wheat futures were 7 cents lower at 526.75. September soft red wheat down 2.5 cents to 538.25. September corn futures 2.25 cents lower at 409.25. December corn down 1.5 cents to 425.5. August soybeans 3.5 cents lower today, 1029.75. November beans closed at 1027. That's up 2.25 cents on the day. December cotton was 119 points lower today, 67.68. Over to your livestock. August fat cattle were 57.5 cents higher, but 213.87.5. August feeders up 277.5 to 310.67.5. And July hogs, $3.15 lower at 110.10. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
It's that time of year again. Mower season just around the corner. Stop by Comroe Sales and Service and check in with the Aarons and Gravely specialists. Comroe's not only sells new and used mowers, they service most makes and sizes too. So whether you're looking for a Comroe upgrade or just a quick once-over on your current mower, call or stop into Comroe Sales and Service. They'll get you ready for the season. Comroe Sales and Service, conveniently located in Durand on Highway 85 and in Whitehall on Tower Drive. You know, when you get a mower from Comroe Sales, you're getting one bad grass mower.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just a few scattered showers and thunderstorms around this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny skies with highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, mostly clear with lows near 60. On Tuesday, first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with a high of 82. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 78.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Glad you're with us for this report day, June 30th. That's the acreage report and the quarterly grain stocks report. We're breaking it down with Ben Brown, University of Missouri at FAPRI, or FAPRI at University of Missouri. There, that's better. I get what you were saying, Ben, about sorghum. It didn't have the support from the export outlook. It didn't have the financial support from the financial sheets. But I do recall conversation earlier this year that maybe we don't believe that corn acreage number because we're going to lose some acres to sorghum in the Central Plains. And, boy, that just failed to happen, didn't it?
Well, so one of the things I think led to that was we were also expecting a lot of dry weather, hot, dry forecasts across a good chunk of the southern plains. And there was adequate rains. The weather forecast just kept pushing down the road a little bit further. And I think, you know, what we're seeing is a very solid wheat crop, hard red winter wheat crop in the southern plains. You look in this report, and one of the things that stood out to me right away, it was one of the very first things I wrote down, was we saw a sizable jump in the percentage of soybeans following another crop. And a big chunk of that came in Kansas, in Kansas and Oklahoma. And I sit here and I think about that for a while, and I come to the conclusion, or at least the assumption maybe, that we just didn't have as much wheat abandonment early on that got transitioned into sorghum and full season soybeans. So now they're following up with a double crop soybean behind that wheat. And you're right. We didn't see the shift to sorghum that we maybe would have anticipated earlier in the year, but the economics certainly haven't suggested planting more sorghum. It's been a really rough year to use sorghum.
Right. And you know, your weather argument on makes the case for cotton too. I mean, those guys down in West Texas, what are you going to do? Just let the rain go to waste? No, you're going to plant more cotton, right?
That's right. And that's where we saw, I mean, as I mentioned in the first segment, you know, almost 200,000 extra acres of all cotton down in Texas. And that's certainly a big story there. The weather forecast certainly played out in favorable for additional cotton acres. Yeah. And like I said, I think where we really struggled on the rice side was also weather related. Lots of water, lots of precipitation, frequent rains. I think that's what really kind of whacked those rice acreage numbers as well.
Yeah, it didn't show up in corn in the Eastern Belt. You know, I kind of thought maybe we would see a little bit of slippage there, but Illinois was down 100,000 acres from the March intentions. Indiana was steady at 5.4, and Ohio was down 50,000 acres. So a little bit of movement on those corn acres in the Eastern Belt, but not much.
Yeah, so Chip, you probably remember I spent a good chunk of time in Ohio, in Ohio State. Yep. That was my first job, and have a lot of friends out in Ohio. So every year I take a trip in June to go see some friends, and I get to travel Western Ohio, and they had a week there about the second week of June where they really got with it. And everybody that I talked to just kept saying, yeah, we're going to plant what we intended to plant. Now, granted, that's not true of everybody because there's 50,000 less acres of corn. But I think they really did get what they wanted planted, just maybe some very acute instances where that wasn't the case. And the corn looked good. When I was out there 2 weeks ago, it looked really good. It was just short. I mean, it was all of boot high, you know, just like 2 weeks ago. But it looked good. It had an even emergence, good color, and with some rains, I think they'll have a decent crop out there. So
okay, yeah, USDA made the note that there were still 3.63 million acres of corn to plant as of survey time. That's not all that unusual, is it, Ben?
No, that number wasn't out of the ordinary, and I hate to pick on USDA. I wish they would report the states where those were, or you know, where that was left. Every once in a while, you know, they give us the special bulletin at the front that'll say there's this many acres. Actually, I think it's in August or September. They'll say this is how many acres. You know, we're going to resurvey in like North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. You know, we don't get that for the acreage report or where those acres are left. My guess is that a good chunk of them are actually in southern Illinois, southern Indiana. That would be my guess, where a good chunk of those 3 million acres of corn are. So
right. And then the 11.5 million acres of soybeans left to plant at survey time, that certainly supports the increase in double crop bean acres, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a factor there. Like I said, I think, you know, the wheat abandonment comment I had about, yep. you know, how USDA counts that, I don't know the answer, but my guess is if you abandon wheat and plant soybeans, that's considered a first crop, not following another crop. So the fact that we had, you know, that we had a good hard red winter wheat crop in the southern plains, I think helps support those added double crop beans as well.
Gotcha. Okay. The increase in the double crop bean acres enough to make it difficult to get to that 52.5 for a national average soybean yield?
Sure. I think it certainly adds to the picture. I think where we lost some soybean acres, especially down in the Delta region, plays into this conversation as well. You know, there are pockets of the country where there's quite a few late planted soybeans that, you know, we can have a decent soybean crop with late planted soybeans. That's not a huge factor. It is a factor, but not a big factor. But you got to have precipitation in August, right? And that's ultimately when it comes down to soybeans, to be able to put the nodes on and fill the pods. And that's where I think we're going to have to turn our attention to related to that soybean crop. Last year, for example, there was a lot of people that had double crop soybeans that made as good, if not better, than their first crop soybeans, just based on when the rains came and the pollination. That's not true every year, and that's certainly not true across the country. I know for our farm, you know, we were averaging 55 bushel double crop beans, which that's really good in our neck of the woods for double crop beans. So it can happen. It just depends on when those rains in the fall. And if you can get a couple, well, I shouldn't even say fall, late summer. And if you can catch the timing right, it works out decent. So,
Yep. Geez, I feel like we've covered everything from the acreage in the grain stocks report that we had to hit, didn't we?
Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot to really nitpick here, I guess, from the standpoint it was one of those reports to where you kind of look through it and everything lined up with what we thought going into the day. But weather will dictate it as we move into July and August.
Yeah, exactly. And the weather's going to dictate crop size. Weather's going to dictate what these markets do from this point forward. It's time to get the acres out of your head, because this is the acreage number, or these are the acreage numbers that we are going to use at least through September. There could be some adjustments in October. We just don't know yet. But I'd anticipate using these numbers through September, and now we start to move that acreage expectation, or excuse me, the yield expectation around a little bit in here, Ben. It's not too early to start thinking about it now, is it?
No, certainly. And it'll be debated. It has already been debated. And this has kind of been the anger point the last few years with producers is, you know, we failed to meet trendline expectations on corn, you know, 5-6 years in a row now. That came after a run of exceeding yield, the trend yield the years before that. But anytime where you don't meet that trend line yield that's set at the very beginning of the year, producers think that the market was artificially suppressed. And of course, the reverse is true when it's set low and we exceed it. But, you know, we've kind of had a pattern here, and it raises the question of, has our growth in corn yield slowed? That's kind of been the question. And it's always hard to figure that out, because every year you've got different weather and different combination of acreage and growing conditions, but certainly has been a frustration point for producers here the last couple of years.
Okay. The expectations have been that we will at some point see a summer rally in corn and soybeans. I guess after today, we're going to have some sort of a catalyst to get the professional trading funds out of those short positions. We know that it's a tough year for profitability. How do you need to change up your marketing thoughts to adjust for that, Ben?
Yeah, so this is an understatement to say it's been a tough year for marketing. I think we've had, at least by my calculations, I think we've had 2 weeks, a period in mid-February and a period in mid-April. And I don't even know if they were full weeks. I think they were just a couple of days there, where we traded at break-even levels for a good chunk of the country to market some new crop corn. Outside that, there really hasn't been a whole lot of opportunities. And so, you know, there is quite a bit of unsold new crop corn still out there waiting for any type of rally. That's going to put a little bit of a cap on rallies. If we can get a rally, people start selling or producers start selling, and that's going to, we'll have to work through all that before we can move to the next leg higher. That's not to say it can't happen this year, but it's going to take quite a bit of weather scare to do that. Of course, that's the pre-harvest part. Once you get into post-harvest, then you're just looking for what the market gives you, right? Using the spreads, rolling the hedges, trying to take advantage of basis where you can. Those are things that become very tactical in nature, and we'll have to be mindful of and keep at it. But you know, for the pre-harvest marketing period, it's been a real frustrating year on the pre-harvest marketing plans. And back to the comment I made earlier of, you know, we've thrown a lot of things, a lot of bullish factors at this corn price as of late, and we just can't get those breaks to move in price of corn. So.
Yep. Real quick, there's this point. 55% of total corn stocks are still stored on farm. That seems like added weight, Ben.
It does sound like added weight. I will make the comment, the share, off-farm stocks were up higher this year than last year. And that tells me that a lot of end users have coverage through this summer, right? So there's not that opportunity either hanging out there to move in price some corn or to attract better basis bids.
Gotcha. Okay. Ben, always enjoy these conversations with you. Thank you so much for making time.
Thanks, Chip. Have a good afternoon.
You bet. All right. That is Ben Brown, University of Missouri.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
When the game is on the line,
Championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing, because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld, then share them with family and friends.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
We don't make the news. We render it. AgriTalk.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Good conversation there with Ben Brown, University of Missouri, about today's USDA report. It's Monday afternoon. That means it's time for a conversation with Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Don't forget, you can get a look at what Kerry and his team are doing on the commodity side of the markets at Artak, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. And if you would like to see what they're doing on the equity side, go to wickedstocks.com. All right, Kerry's pre-recorded today. Let's go ahead and roll her, Big Apple.
Chip, yeah, I'll start with September corn. We rolled last week from July to September. September is a lower price contract by about a dime lower than July. And because of that, or at least in part, you know, we've had a sell signal, as I mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago, below the mid 430s, 433 and a quarter to be exact this week. And we are expecting the 380s, 390s. We've had this sort of moving targets. 399 half is our big support, was last week, is still this week. We dropped to 402 and a quarter last week in the September contract. And so the point I'm really making is we did essentially test long-term support within 2 weeks rather than within the kind of 1 to 2 months we were expecting. And so having essentially tested long-term support, and what I mean by that is we dropped within 1% of 399 half, we can now round up back up to the 433 and a quarter long-term resistance area over the next 2 to 3, 3 to 5 weeks. We could trade inside of 399 half to 433 and a quarter through August trade, perhaps. But if we can close now above 433 and a quarter, that would indicate a good summer low, a 470 even then likely within 1 to 2 months, where the broader corn futures market could actually top out into later autumn. Downside, if we close the week below 385 even, that would set off a significant long-term sell signal that I would expect to play out into later year. I hate to say it, but what I see on the long-term charts, if we close below 385 even, is 288 even to 318 even, a wide 30-cent region loaded with long-term support, well-suited to contain selling through the rest of the year and well into next. And I think it would be attainable by the end of the year if we were to close any week below 385 even. But we just came off of long-term support, and I do think 433 and a quarter remains in reach now by the end of July or sooner. On to November soybeans, 1022 even. We're trading in the upper 1030s last I looked, 1038 even the last I looked. 1022 even is a floor of support for this new November contract that can contain monthly selling pressures through July into August, and above which 1088 half is in reach by the end of July, and we could potentially reach 11, 12 even by the end of August. Now, to say that I have a buy signal is a bit of a stretch, but we did just come off of long-term support last week, and I do think holding above 1022 even, you should allow 1088 half over the next 3 to 5 weeks, perhaps 11, 12 even over the next couple of months, where the broader soybean market could top out through autumn, possibly the rest of the year. Now, downside, certainly if we were to close the week below 1022 even, that would set off continued weakness through July into August. I would then expect 959 even to 970 even, that region, then expected within a couple of months of closing below 1022 half, that 959 even to 970 even area, well suited to contain broader soybean market selling pressures through the rest of the year, actually. And finally, NVIDIA. I cover the stock a lot because we do present it for free every single day on our WickedStocks.com YouTube channel. So you go to WickedStocks, you can look us up, you can see this every day. Last week's rally launched NVIDIA into a new 2 to 3 month buy signal above 150.22. We're trading the upper 150s last, 157 and change, and so we're not going to see that today, but we did close above it last week. It does offer solid pullback support. If we dip back into the 150.22 area, it presents a buy opportunity through July into August, expecting 175 even now over the next 2 to 3 months above 150.22. The 175 even level, kind of a moving target. It's a rising two-year channel top that can contain buying through the rest of the year. So if you've yet to get long NVIDIA, there have been several meaningful buy signals I've mentioned on this show the last of 3 or 4 months. This is the most recent, above the low 150s, expecting the mid 170s and climbing over the next 2 to 3 months. On the other hand, if we fall apart and the market closes the week back below 150.22, that rejection of a classic long-term buy signal, which is what it would be, would then indicate 131 even within about 3 to 5 weeks. We could bounce there nicely for several weeks, possibly a month, but over the next several months, I could see this market unwinding all the way back to 115 even, perhaps, if we close this week back below 150.22. Until then, all systems go to the upside, expecting 175 even over the next 2 to 3 months. And that, Chip, is all I've got today.
All right. Excellent, Kerry. Thank you so much for that update. 1022, Davis. 1022 in November beans. We spiked. Well, we closed below it twice last week, came back on Friday and closed back on top of 1022, and today spiked it but came back and closed on top of 1022. You do stuff like that enough, you start to build the strength of a support level. And Kerry called it a floor support in there right now.
Wow. Okay. So very good. Good talk with Ben Brown. A lot of talk about the stocks, on-farm, off-farm. Do you have time to just brush over that a little bit with us?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important that we do that because Ben made a very important observation. I said, you know, we still got 55% of this year's stocks on June 1 were stored on farm. But that's down 470 million bushels from where we were a year ago. Corn stored off farm was up 117 million bushels from a year ago at 45% of the tally. So that's moving in the right direction. Soybean stored off farm made up 59.1% of the tally. That's up 92 million. Beans stored off farm made up 41% of the tally, down 54 million bushels. And then real quick, wheat stored off farm was up 109 million bushels, 667. Wheat stored off farm just 184 million bushels. But that was up 45 million bushels from where we were a year ago. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, July 6th through the 10th. Above normal temperatures across a lot of the country, above normal precipitation over the Corn Belt. Then you jump out to the July 8th to 14th. That's the 8th to 14th day. Near normal temperatures expected over the bulk of the Corn Belt. The northern half of the corn growing area is looking at near normal precip. Southern areas looking for above normal precip. Hey, come back tomorrow morning for AgriTalk, 10:06 Central.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code C for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code C for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code C for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate is holding a marathon session as Republicans try to